Today's daf is Yuma Daf Gimel. We left off on the top of Daf Gimel Amar Alpha. Today's shir should be Refuah Shleima for Yehuda Zev ben Chavaleah, who's undergoing some serious surgery right now. He should have a Refuah Shleima. We are going to continue our discussion from yesterday. So it's all one big topic of conversation the entire daf. We started questioning yesterday how we know that 7 days prior to Yom Kippurim and 7 days prior to a Kohen being involved in the Parah Adumah, that we are mafresh a Kohen Gadol from his bias, that we separate him to a designated area in preparation for those avodos. So the Gemara suggested, well, we learned it from a pasuk by the Miluim. The pasuk says by the Miluim, Kasher asa b'yom hazeh, tziva Hashem la'asos l'chaper aleichem. That la'asos was referring to Parah Adumah, l'chaper is referring to Yom Kippurim. So the Gemara started a series of questions that, how do you know? How do you know it's referring to Dafka, those two things, to Parah Adumah and to Yom Kippurim? So we said, after all, maybe the Lechaper is not about Yom Kippurim, maybe it's about Kapara of Karbanos, or maybe it's about the Avodah of the various Yom Tovim. And then the Gemara said, okay, maybe it's not about the Avodah of various Yom Tovim, maybe it's about a specific Yom Tov. So we questioned, well, which specific Yom Tov? Maybe it's about Chag HaMatzos, maybe it's about Chag HaSukkos. We left off in the middle of the discussion, maybe it's about Shemini Atzeres. Today we're going to raise the question, maybe it's about Shavuos. Maybe that's the requirement of being Mafresh Kohen Gadol 7 days. How do you know it's for Yom Kippur? Maybe it's for Shavuos. We're also going to ask on the bottom of Amud Aleph, maybe it's about Rosh Hashanah. Maybe that's what we have to separate the Kohen Gadol 7 days for Rosh Hashanah, or a Kohen rather, 7 days for Rosh Hashanah, not for Yom Kippurim. The Gemara is going to have four answers as to how we know that it's not about Rosh Hashanah, and that's going to take us through most of Amud Beis. And then at the very end of Amud Beis, we're going to have different opinions that disagree with this idea that it all comes from this pasuk. We're going to have the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan that says yes, that the prisha of 7 days for the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippurim is derived from the pasuk by the Miluim, but not the prisha of 7 days for the Parah Adumah. That's just a maila bialma. That's just an extra chumrah, an extra precaution we take by Parah Adumah because of the kulos that we take in terms of a tefil yom by Parah Adumah. But it is not derived from the pasuk. Reish Lakish holds neither of these dinim are derived from the pasuk. The din of being mafresh before Yom Kippurim, the din of Parah Adumah, neither are derived from pasuk. They're derived from Har Sinai. It's a whole separate drasha that Reish Lakish has. That's the basic continuation of the conversation that we have in today's daf. So again, we were in the middle of discussing how do we know that it's for Yom Kippurim that we're mafresh for 7 days. Maybe it's for Shemini Atzeres that we're mafresh for 7 days. So the Gemara had said, no, it can't be for Shemini Atzeres because Shemini Atzeres has Kedusha Lefanav. There are days of Kedusha leading up to Shemini Atzeres, whereas by the Miluim and by Yom Kippurim, there's no Kedusha Lefanav. So the Gemara said, no, Adarabba, that's more of a reason to say that you should be mafresh 7 days in advance. If it's so holy that it's even preceded by Kedusha, it's more of a reason. So the Gemara said, no, there's a special Gzeres HaKosov Hazeh, that it's Dafka for Yom Kippurim and not for anything else. So, and then Ravashi, where we were right in the middle of, let's start again from two lines from the bottom, Beis and Beis, Ravashi Amar, the reason that we're not going to say that Shemini Atzeres requires prisha of 7 days is because Mika Miti de Ika Rega Lobayu Prisha Tafel di Day Bayu Prisha. You ever have such a thing that the Yantif itself doesn't require prisha for 7 days, but that which is secondary to the Yantif, Shemini Atzeres, which is an afterthought of Chag HaSukkos, that's going to require prisha of 7 days? It's not mistaver that Sukkos itself isn't going to require it, but Shemini Atzeres will. Who told you that Shemini Atzeres is an afterthought, that it's a Tafel to Sukkos? Because even if you hold that Shemini Atzeres is its own distinct regel, Hani Mili Li'inir Pazar Keshav, when we say that it's its own distinct regel, that's only with regard to the six halachos that are referred to by the mnemonic Pazar Keshav. Avli'inir Tashlumin, Tashlumin Derishonhu. But certainly when it comes to the halach of Tashlumin, of making up for missed karbanos, so Shemini Atzeres is certainly considered to be tafel to the rest of Sukkos. What do we mean by that? Tatnan, we have a Mishnah. Mishalochag, biyomtov rishon shalchag, chogig vaholich kol regel kulo, V'yom tova achron shel chag. If a person didn't bring korban chagiga on the first day of Yom Tov, so then he can bring it throughout the rest of the days of Yom Tov, but not only throughout the rest of the days of Sukkot, v'yom tova achron shel chag, also on Shmini Atzeres. But this was a Sukkot korban. Why is he allowed to bring it on Shmini Atzeres? So you see that there is a relationship between Shmini Atzeres and Sukkot. It's not just a coincidence of the calendar that Shmini Atzeres happens to fall out after Sukkot. There's a direct relationship between the two. Shmini Atzeres is the Iker. Sukkot is the Iker. Shmini Atzeres is the Tafel. So that is why it's not mistaver at all to say that Shmini Atzeres is going to require the Kohen, who's going to do the Avoda, to do Prishas Shiva, to separate himself for 7 days in advance of Shmini Atzeres. We don't do it for Sukkot, we wouldn't do it for Shmini Atzeres. Now this idea of Pizar Keshav comes up at the end of Masechah Sukkah, and it comes up over here, and there's significant discussion in the Rishonim about a number of these items that are being referred to by Pizar Keshav. What does Pizar Keshav stand for? So let's take one at a time. So the pay of Pizar Keshav is Pious Bifnei Atzmo. Rashi points out that when determining which Kohanim are going to do the Avoda, so there's a Seder HaDvarim in terms of each of the days of Sukkot, where the different families of Kohanim took turns doing the Avoda on the different Karbanos, but Shmini Atzeres, they did a separate raffle to determine who's going to do the Avoda. They did not just continue to follow the Seder of the families that they were following throughout all of the days of Sukkot for the Shivim Parei Achag. That is a separate raffle to determine who's going to do the avoda. That's the pay. What's the zayin? Pazar keshav. So zayin means zman. So Rashi says, what does it mean? It's a zman b'fnei atzmo. For kavana in Rashi says the kavana is by zman is birchas hamazon. That on the Shmini Atzeres, birchas zman. The bracha of shechianu. That on Shmini Atzeres they'd say shechianu like you would in every other Yom Tov, because it's a chag b'fnei atzmo. It's not a continuation of Sukkot. Each Yom Tov requires its own shechianu. So Shmini Atzeres gets its own shechianu. That's what zman means, says Rashi. The Beis Yosef writes that based on that, there are some that are knowing in Chutz La'aretz not to eat in Sukkah on the night of Shmini Atzeres. They eat in Sukkah on the day of Shmini Atzeres, but in Tafresh Samaches, Beis Yosef writes that some are knowing not to eat the night of Shmini Atzeres. Why? Because in the night of Shmini Atzeres, you have to be saying a Shechianu for the Chavos Hayom. So it's a bizayon, it's a stira to be sitting in the Sukkah, which is a declaration that it's still Chag HaSukkos, and to be saying a Birch Sazman, a Shechianu, which is saying that it's not Chag HaSukkos anymore, that it's already Shmini Atzeres. Beis Yosef doesn't pass like that. But he paskins that we do eat in the sukkah on the night of Shmini Atzeres as well. But he explains that minhag of those who don't eat in the sukkah at night but do eat during the day, based on this, based on the fact that there is a zman, that there is a bracha of shechianu. What is reish? So reish is regel b'fnei atzmo. What does that mean? This is the most controversial of all them. This is the most debated of all them. There are 6 different shitos of what it means regel b'fnei atzmo, and 2 of them belong to Rashi, 2 of them belong to Rabbeinu Tam, 2 belong to Ramban. Even the Rishonim argue themselves don't get it, aren't certain about their own opinions, have multiple shitos. Rashi says that it's not called Chag HaSukkos, but he doesn't say L'may Nafkamina, that it's not called Chag HaSukkos, that it's a regular pronouncement. We don't call it Chag HaSukkos, we call it Shmini Atzeres. It's a different name of the Yom Tov. So Tosfos understands that it means Pirush Rashi regali atzmo she'en yoshvin besukkah, that we don't call it by the name Chag HaSukkos because we don't sit in Sukkah. That's what Rashi's trying to point out. That on Shmini Atzeres in Eretz Yisrael, there's no mitzvah of sitting in the Sukkah. The Ramban says, well, then wait a second. That's enough to be called the regular pronouncement because the mitzvah hayom doesn't apply. Frek the Ramban, then why don't we call every day after the first day of Sukkot by a different regel? Because after all, lulav is only knowing Yom Rishon b'gvulin. Lulav is only knowing for one day. Or how about on Pesach? Matzah is only knowing for the first night, the mitzvah of matzah. So you're going to say the whole rest of Pesach is a different yantiv? So the Chor Rashi can answer each of those questions rather easily. First of all, when it comes to lulav, yes, b'gvulin, lulav is only a mitzvah for one day. But in Mikdash, lulav is a mitzvah for 7 days. So it's not really a distinguishing characteristic of day one versus the other days. Lulav does apply all 7 days, but Mikdash, and we always go as Mikdash being the ikur. And when it comes to matzah, it's true that the chiyuv of achilas matzah, vino kazayis of matzah, is the first night. But certainly many rishonim, a couple of rishonim in the shitas hagra, is that matzah applies, the mitzvah of matzah, kiyu mitzvah of matzah, applies throughout all of the days of Pesach. So matzah is not only limited to the first night, and even if you don't hold that there's any sort of kiyu mitzvah of matzah throughout all the days of Pesach, but there is an isur chametz, and the isur chametz is very much connected to the mitzvah of matzah. But anyway, that's the Ramban's kasha on that understanding of Rashi. It happens to be that Tosfos and Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Dafdal and Amud Beis has a different understanding of Rashi. That what does Rashi mean that it has its own shame yom tov, that the nafkamina is in regards to tefillah and birchas hamazon? Do you say Yom Shmini Atzeres Hazeh or Chag HaSukkos Hazeh? So that's what Rashi means, that it's called its own Yom Tov. Rabbeinu Tam over here, quoted over here in Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam says that no, it's talking about the Chi of Lina, that someone who's only regularly Yerushalayim has to sleep over that night. So he doesn't go back home until the next day. Shmini Atzeres also has a chiyuv lina. Then Rabbeinu Tam says a second possibility, that maybe regel b'fnei atzmo means legabe avelus, it's considered a regel b'fnei atzmo, because typically we view a regel as filling up 7 days of avelus. That if a person was knowing avelus, let's say for a moment before Chag HaSukkos, he sat shiva for a moment before Chag HaSukkos, so that when Chag HaSukkos arrives, shiva is over. The regel is mashlim, the shivas yimei avelus. Then another 7 days of Chag HaSukkos pass, so that's 14 days. Shmini Atzeres comes, Shmini Atzeres counts as another 7 days. So by the time Shmini Atzeres is over, it's only a week after his relative had died, it's 8 days after his relative had died, and he's already up to holding by day 21 of avelus. He's only got 9 more days of avelus. That's how Rabbeinu Tam says second possibility, that zman, that regel b'fnei atzmo means that it's considered like Gabe Avelus, the regular of Nasma. Okay, we'll leave out the Ramban for now. Kashav, the kuf is carbon b'fnei atzmo, there's, as we said, a certain seder to the karbanos that are brought throughout the rest of the days of Sukkot. Every day it's shnei elim, sir echad, arba asar kvasim, and the pareachag or poches v'holich, you bring 13 and 12, 11, 10, number, you know, each day one less of the pareachag, but by Shmini Atzeres there's no hemsheikh to that seder. It's just its own separate thing. You bring karb musaf, parechad, ayelechad, shiva kvasim, its own separate set of karbanos. The shin is shir bifnei atzmo. That it's its own separate song. Rashi says he's not sure what exactly that shir was on Shmini Atzeres. Tosfos has a suggestion from Maseches Sofrim that it's Lamnatzeach al Hashminis, that we say that in the Beis HaKnesses on Shmini Atzeres. Maybe that's maybe that's connected to what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ritva says why would we call it Regel B'fnei Atzmo, because it has a shir B'fnei Atzmo. Each of the days of Chag have a shir B'fnei Atzmo. It's a very strange thing to point out, that because Shmini Atzeres has its own shir, that's what would make it an independent Yom Tov and not just Tafel to Chag HaSukkos. Every day of Sukkot has its own shir. So the Ritva points out that no, Chol HaMoed, they would say every day, they would say a Chatzi Mizmor. And unlike Shmini Atzeres, where they would say a Mizmor Shalim, they would say an entire meaning. Chatzi Mizmor is a way of indicating that the other half is going to be said on another day, meaning that it's still connected to something else. Whereas when they say a Mizmor Shalim on Shmini Atzeres, also the Ritva says on all the other days, if Shabbos comes on that day, so the shir of that day is pushed away, and they would say instead the shir shel Shabbos. And then the next day they would say the shir of the day before that day, and then continue lefid the seder of the shir. But when it comes to the shir of Shmini Atzeres, it was not nidcha because of the shir of Shabbos. They would say that shir of Shmini Atzeres even on Shabbos. So maybe that's what distinguishes the shir b'fnei atzmo of Shmini Atzeres versus shir b'fnei atzmo of every other day. And then the final one is the beis is bracha. So Rashi says that there's a special bracha you say for a melech on Shmini Atzeres. Shabbos. That's when they would be Mevarich the Melech. In Sukkah, Rashi quotes a different interpretation. In Masechta Sukkah, on Daf Mem Ches, Rashi quotes that they would say in the Bricha Shel Yom, Bifnei Atzma, meaning they wouldn't say in the Tefillin, Bricha Shel Mazon, in Siyam Chag HaSukkah Hazeh, they would say Yom HaShmini Atzeres Hazeh. And there's a whole discussion. If you accidentally say Yom Chag HaSukkah Hazeh, as a Machlokas HaPoskim, if you're even Yotze B'dieved, meaning failed, that it has to be a separate Haskara, so are you even Yotze B'dieved when you say Chag HaSukkah Hazeh HaShmini Atzeres? Mishra Bruz Machriya, that if you don't say it properly, then you have to go back, that you have to be Chozer Masakin. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he says he doesn't even understand what the Machlokas is about. Cholam Shan Mabeah Shetov HaChamim B'brachos, if you change anything that the Chamim instituted in how to say a bracha, so of course you have to go back. What's to debate? Rav Moshe doesn't understand. He writes in the tshuva. Okay, Vayter in the Gemara now. So we're four lines in. Frek the Gemara, okay, we know that we have said that the din of Prishas Shivas Yamim that we learn from the Miluim is about, when it says L'chaper, it's about Yom HaKippurim. So the Gemara was in the middle of questioning, how do you know it's about Yom HaKippurim? Maybe it's about some other regel. Which other regel? So we suggested Pesach, we suggested Sukkot, we suggested Shmini Atzeres. Now we have a fourth suggestion. Ve'ima Atzeres. Maybe it's about Shavuos. De Prisha Shiva liYom Echadu. Because after all, the whole point is we need to come up with a Yom Tov where it's going to be a Prisha of 7 days for the sake of one day of Yom Tov. So that's why it couldn't be Sukkot and that's why it couldn't be Pesach. But maybe it's Shavuos. Shavuos is 7 days. You could be Porish 7 days in advance for a one-day Yom Tov, for Shavuos. So Rabbi Abba, done in Parechad Vayelechad, mi Parechad Vayelechad. One thing that the Miluim and Yom HaKippurim have in common, that Shavuos does not, is that both by the Miluim and by Yom HaKippurim, we bring one par and one ayil. Lafuke Atzeres, the Shnei Elim Ninhu. As opposed to on Shavuos, it's Shnei Elim. So since it's there are two rams that are brought on Shavuos, that's why we know to connect it to connect the Miluim to Yom HaKippurim, rather than to connect it to Shavuos. Says Gemara, Hanich Leman Yom HaKippurim Ayelechad Hu, Elman Yom Shnei Elim Ninhu Mayik Lememar. That's great if you actually hold that Yom HaKippurim is Ayelechad. But there's a machlokas about this. What about the shita that holds that it's Shnei Elim? D'tanya, after all, the Brisa says, Rebbe Omer Ayel Echad, Hu Amor Kan, Hu Amor B'chumash HaBikudim. Rebbe says that it's Ayel Echad. The Torah mentions it in two different places. Yeah, it's the same Ayel the Torah just happens to mention in two different places. In Parshas Achremos, it says, Adas B'nei Yisrael, Yikach Shnei Sirizim L'chatas, Va'ayel Echad Ola. And then again, in Parshas Pinchas, it refers to an ayil echad, but it's the same one, Rebbe says. It's still only one ayil. But Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon Omer, Shnei Eilim Heim, that it's two Eilim, it's two rams. Echad Omer Kan, Vechad Omer B'chamash HaBikudim. One in Achremos, and one in Pinchas. So they're two separate Eilim. So if you're going to say that it's two separate Eilim, so then, again, we're back to the question, why do we want to connect Yom HaKippurim specifically to the Miluim, versus connecting Shavuos to the Miluim? Maybe it's Shavuos that requires Prisha of 7 days. So says Gemara, Afilu Tamer Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Now we could even assume that we're going like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, that Yom HaKippurim also has Shnei Eilim. Hasam chad l'chovas hayom chad l'musafin la'afukei atzeres t'travayu chovas hayom ninhu. By Shavuos, the two elim are both part of the special carbon of the day that goes together with the shtei alechem. The ikur carbon of the day of Shavuos was the shtei alechem, and along with the shtei alechem, which is a mincha, anytime it's lechem that we're dealing with the bread, it's a mincha. But along with the shtei alechem, animals were brought. The shnei elim were brought, as opposed to on Yom HaKippurim. Granted, there may be shnei Elim. There may be two rams that are brought, but only one of them is part of the special Chovas Hayom, and the other one is part of just the regular carbon Musaf that you would bring on Yom HaKippurim. So therefore, Yom HaKippurim is still considered to be Ayil Echad in the sense in its connection to the Miluim, because there's only one special Ayil brought, just like by the Miluim. So that's why we compare Yom HaKippurim to the Miluim and not Shavuos. Okay, so Shavuos is out of the picture. So says Gemara Ve'emer Rosh Hashanah, but still, maybe the Kohen is separated not 7 days in advance of Yom HaKippurim, but 7 days in advance of Rosh Hashanah, the Prisha Shavuot Yom Echadu, because that too is 7 days of separation, could be 7 days of separation for one day of Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah is one day of Yom Tov. So Gemara has four answers to that. First answer is Amar Rabbi Avo, Dunin Parva Ail Shalo, Mi Parva Ail Shalo, La Fuke Atzeres, Rosh Hashanah, Tzibur Ninu. So the first answer, some of these answers don't only answer Rosh Hashanah, they'll answer some of the previous questions also, of the other Yom Tov. So the first answer answers not just Rosh Hashanah, but it answers Atzeres as well. That why do we connect Yom HaKippurim to the Miluim? Because both by Yom HaKippurim and by the Miluim, it's privately paid for. The Par and the Ail are paid for by the Kohen Gadol himself, as opposed to both Atzeres and Rosh Hashanah, it's paid for by the Tzibur, and therefore we don't connect that to the Miluim. So says Gemara, that's great if you assume that that's true. That's great if you assume that whenever you have kach lecha, aseh lecha, that means that you got to pay for it yourself. But if you hold that, even when it says kach lecha, aseh lecha, it doesn't mean the Kohen Gadol's paying for it. It could still be from communal funds that are paying for it. So then we're right there, back to the question. What makes us connect the Miluim to Yom HaKippurim more so than connecting it to Rosh Hashanah? Where do we find such a machlokas? What lecha means? Ditanya, we have a braisa. Kach lecha mishalcha, va'ase lecha mishalcha, v'yikhu elecha, doesn't say lecha, elecha, that's mishal tzibur, divrei Rabbi Yoshia. That the word lecha always means you pay for it, elecha would mean that you don't pay for it personally. Rabbi Yonason Omer, but Rabbi Yonason disagrees. Bein kach lecha, bein v'yikhu elecha, mishal tzibur. Kach lecha also means the community pays for it, that it's not paid for by the individual kohen. Why then does it have an expression? Why does it use the term kach lecha if it's paid for by the tzibur? So it says Gemara, kaviyachol mishalcha ani rotze yoser mishalahem. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying, I wish I got it only from you, from the Kohen Gadol. I'd rather not have to take it from the tzibur. The tzibur is a bunch of sinners. I would prefer it from the great tzaddik. Rashi points out kaviyachol. What's kaviyachol over here? Two possibilities. First he says ani shamati ima yitzibur yachol that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying that because this karban is a kapara for the whole tzibur, I have to make it come from communal funds. But if it were possible for the tzibur to get a kapara from private funds, then I would have done it. But it's not possible for a tzibur to get kapara for private funds. Vaniyomer Rashi says another possibility, lefi shadavar kasha ulomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu katz b'Yisrael, that the kaviyachol is not HaKadosh Baruch Who's speaking, it's us speaking. It's saying this is difficult to say. Kaviyachol is like we'd rather not say it like this, but because what we are saying right now is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want Klal Yisrael contributing, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in the karbanos of the tzibur. So the Gemara throws in the word kaviyachol, not quoting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying kaviyachol, if only I could take, but it's the Gemara saying kaviyachol, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tell us that he prefers not to have the karbanos of the tzibur. But that's what kach lecha means. Kach lecha is speaking as like an olah b'machshava, like an ideal that went through God's mind, that it would come privately, but it doesn't actually get paid for privately. It actually gets paid for Mishal Tzibur, says Rabbi Yonasan. Abba Chanan Amar Mishum Rabbi Lazar, Kasav Echad Omer V'asisa Lecha Aron Eitz, V'kasav Echad Omer V'asu Aron Atzei Shitim. So the first one says, Asisa Lecha Aron Eitz. The second one just says, V'asu Aron Atzei Shitim. Haketzad, so which is it? Is it Lecha or is it not Lecha? So the Gemara says, Kan Bizman Sheyisrael Osin Ritzono Shel Makom, Kan Bizman Shein Osin Ritzono Shel Makom. When we are Osin Ritzono Shel Makom, when we're doing the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so the avoda is called by us, it's connected to us. But when we're not doing the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it makes it much less personal. It's something that's not so connected to us. But the bottom line is that we wanted to suggest that the whole reason we don't require Prisha of 7 days before Rosh Hashanah, and we do require it before Yom HaKippurim, is that by Yom HaKippurim is more similar to the Miluim in that the Karban is privately paid for. As opposed to Rosh Hashanah, it's not privately paid for. But we now see that that's a Machlokas Tanaim. Whether the carbon is privately paid for by the Miluim and by Yom HaKippurim. Maybe Lecha doesn't mean it's privately paid for at all. So it says Gemara, no, Ad kan lo pligi, ela bikichos di alma vasios di alma. No, the whole machlokas, whether kach Lecha means that it's privately paid for or not that it's privately paid for, is in general when we talk about Aseh Lecha and kach Lecha. Pichos the Alma Kachlucha Samim, when the Pasuk says Kachlucha Samim, Asios the Alma Aselucha Shtei Chatzotros Kesef. Aval Hanach, but specifically when it comes to the Kachlucha that we have by the Miluim and that we have by Yom HaKippurim, Prushe Kamefarish to Mishaluchahu. It clearly means, according to everybody, that it must be privately paid for. I mean, the whole machlokas about whether it's privately paid for or not is not about the Miluim and Yom HaKippurim. The Miluim and Yom HaKippurim is certainly privately paid for, and that's what distinguishes them from Rosh Hashanah. How do I know that it certainly means Mishalucha by the Miluim by Yom HaKippurim? Well, be Miluim Michti. Let's analyze the Pesukim by the Miluim. Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk Vel B'nei Yisrael Tadaber Lemar, why does it have to then add kach lecha egel ben bakar lechatas? So shema mina kach lecha mishalchahu. By adding that extra phrase of kach lecha, must be coming to tell me that it has to be privately paid for. B'yom HaKippurim, and let's analyze the pasuk b'yom Kippur very similarly. Michti, it says in the ksiv, it already says in the pasuk bezos yavo aron el kodesh bepar ben bakar lechatas v'chulei ume esad. And then it says v'hikrves parachatos asher lo lamali. Why does it have to add v'hikrves parachatos asher lo shemamina haylo mishalohu? So it must mean that lo is that it's paid for by Aaron himself, that it's paid for from private funds. So that is the end of answer number one. Again, the Gemara's question was, why don't we assume that the preach of Shiva was for Rosh Hashanah and not for Yom HaKippurim? So answer number one was because Rosh Hashanah is paid for by communal funds. Yom HaKippurim and the Miluim are connected in that they're both paid for by private funds. Now, along the way, we had mentioned the Stirim Psukim about the Aron. Now, in one place it says, Asei Lecha Aron Eitz, and the other place it says, Va'asu Aron Atzei Shitim. Where are these two Psukim? So one is Devarim Perek Yud, that's Parshas Ekev, and the other is in Shemos, Perichavhei. So Rashi over there on the spot in Parshas Ekev says, if you pay attention to what's going on in these Pesukim, the first Pesuk of Parshas Ekev, that's Moshe Rabbeinu telling Klal Yisrael that after the Chele Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to make new Luchos and to make an Aron Eitz where he will place those Luchos. The second Pesuk is the mitzvah to make the Luchos in the Mishkan, to put the Luchos in the Mishkan. So Rashi in Parshas Ekev writes that the Aron that was made after the Chele Egel to place the Luchos is not the same Aron that Bezalel made in the Mishkan, because the Aron that Bezalel made was only after they made the Mishkan. That the tzivoy of the Asiyah of the Aron was only after Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai. So and this Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchos in must have been an Aron that was done at that time as he was coming down from Har Sinai. So it was two separate Aronos. Now, if you accept Rashi and Chumash that they were not the same Aron, then the Gemara's kasha is difficult to understand. The Gemara is asking a stira. One says lecha, one doesn't, because there were two different arons. One is lecha, one's alecha. So the Ramban says, that the Bavli disagrees that there are two aronos. That our Gemara clearly assumes that it was one aron against Rashi. Okay, great. But what are we going to do to defend Rashi and Chumash? Rashi assumes clearly that it was two aronos. So Tosus writes in Maseches Chulin, Daf Tzadi Beis, that the Gemara's understanding is that just like Mistama, the way that one of the arons were, the other aron is supposed to be as well, meaning that the two arons at least paralleled each other, had the same rules. So the Gemara is just saying, why would it be that one aron is supposed to be made Mishal Tzibur and the other one should be made Mishal Moshe, should be made for Moshe Rabbeinu's money? It doesn't make sense that they should have different rules. An aron is an aron. So granted, there were two of them, but there were two of them. They weren't two totally separate things with two totally different sets of rules. That's how Tosfos understands. Okay, back in the Gemara. Now, so the second answer of the Gemara. How do I know that it's referring to Yom HaKippurim and not to Rosh Hashanah that we're mafresh the Kohen for 7 days in advance? So answer number two, Rav Ashi Amar, done in par lechatos va'ayu la'ola, mi par lechatos va'ayu la'ola, la'fukir Rosh Hashanah v'atzeres, t'travayu olos ninhu. Very simple. The karbonos parallel each other when it comes to Yom HaKippurim and the Miluim, but they both have a par for a chatos and an ayil for an ola, as opposed to Rosh Hashanah and Atzeres, for that matter. They're both olos. They're both the par and the ayil are olos. There is no chatos. So that's why we specifically link Yom Kippur to the Miluim and not Rosh Hashanah and not Shavuos to the Miluim. Third answer, Ravina Amar Darn Avodu B'Kohen Gadol Me Avodu B'Kohen Gadol La'afuke Kulu Kushyasan V'Lav Avodu B'Kohen Gadol Minhu. Now the answer number one and answer number two not only answer the Rosh Hashanah question, they also answer the Shavuos question. Answer number three answers all the questions. Why it's Yom Kippur and not Rosh Hashanah and not Shavuos and not Sukkot and not Pesach and not Shemini Atzeres. It answers all of the five different Yom Tovim that we suggested. And namely, and the answer is, according to Ravina, is that we dafka learn things that are an Avod of the Kohen Gadol from an Avod of the Kohen Gadol. Both the Milum and Yom Kippurim have that unique characteristic that they were done by the Kohen Gadol. All these other Yom Tovim, they're done by somebody else. They're done by any Kohen. They're not done by the Kohen, whoever's Kohen, whichever Kohen's turn it was. They're not done by the Kohen Gadol. So that's why the connection is specifically between the Milum and Yom Kippurim. Then the fourth answer, V'Igad Amri, which is the second version of Ravina, Am Ravina Dan Avodu Tchila Me Avodu Tchila La Fukehani Delav Tchila Ninu. We learn firsts from each other, that the Milum was a first, and Yom Kippur is a first. So it says, what do you mean it's a first? It's a first what? So if you want to tell me it means that it's something that the Kohen Gadol was involved in, well, that was the first version of Ravina. We need something new over here. So Ella avodat tchila b'makom me avodat tchila b'makom. The very first time the Mizbeach was used was by the Miluim. The very first time the Kodesh HaKadoshim was used was Yom HaKippurim, was at least that first Yom HaKippurim. So that's what they share in common. Whatever avoda is done on Pesach, on Sukkot, on Shavuos, on Shemini Atzeres, on Shavuos, on Rosh Hashanah, it's never the first time that area is used. So that's what we are deriving. We're deriving first from first. That's why it's Dafka, the link between Yom HaKippurim and the Miluim. So again, answer number four also would answer not only the question about Rosh Hashanah, but answers all of the previous questions that we had about all the five different Yomim Tovim. So answers number one and two answer Rosh Hashanah and Shavuos. Answers number three and four answer everything. Why it's Dafka Yom Kippur and nothing else. Ki Asur Avdimi Amar, so all of this was assuming that both Yom Kippur, the fact that we're Mafrish Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur, and the fact that we're Mafrish Kohen for the Parah Aduma is derived from the Pasuk by the Miluim. So Rav Dimi just points out that that's not agreed upon by everybody, that it's all derived from the Pasuk by the Miluim. Our whole discussion for the last daf and a half is not agreed upon by everybody. Rabbi Yochanan Masni Chad, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi Masni Tarti. Rabbi Yochanan only derived one of these pre-shows from the Pasuk. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi derived both. Rabbi Yochanan Masni Chada Lasos L'Chaper Elu Masa Yom HaKippurim. Rabbi Yochanan says, when it says Lasos L'Chaper, it's not that Lasos refers to the Parah and the Chaper refers to Yom Kippur. No, Lasos L'Chaper is one phrase, it all refers to Yom Kippur. That for 7 days in advance of Yom Kippur, we're Mafrish Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Shimon Levi Masni Tarti. Rabbi Shimon Levi has it the way we've been saying it until now. Lasos Elu Masa Parah L'Chaper Elu Masa Yom HaKippurim. Lasos is referring to the Masa Parah and L'Chaper is referring to Yom HaKippurim. Rabbi Yochanan Masni Chada, wait a second, Rabbi Yochanan learns it all out from, learns only Yom Kippur out from La'asos L'chaper, Va'anantran Shivas Yom Kodim Yom HaKippurim, V'Shivas Yom Kodim Shivas HaPara. But don't we have a Mishnah that says that we also separate a Kohen 7 days in advance of Parah Aduma? How could Rabbi Yochanan not derive it from a Pasuk? This din definitely exists. Rabbi Yochanan is not going to argue on a Mishnah. It's a Beferish Mishnah. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't argue with the Mishnah. He argues on what the source of that Mishnah is. Maila Bialma. He does not think that it's a din d'oraisa that we separate the Kohen who's going to be Soreif the Parah for 7 days. He thinks it's Tam, a Chumra Bialma, an extra Chumra, an extra precaution that we take in terms of the Tara of Parah Aduma, again, to compensate for the fact that we're always using a Tvul Yom to be involved in the Parah Aduma. So that's not a din d'oraisa, it's a din d'rabanan. So frankly, Gemara, really, Rabbi Yochanan holds the whole idea of being Parish Kohen, a Kohen 7 days in advance of Parah, it's just a din d'rabanan? V'ha'amar Rav Minyumi Bar Chilkia, Amar Rav Mechasya Bar Idi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kasher Asa Bayom Azeh, Tziva Hashem La'asos, Lechaper Aleichem, La'asos, Eilu Maisa Parah, Lechaper Eilu Maisa Yom HaKippurim. Don't you have Rabbi Yochanan saying explicitly that the pasuk by the Miluim refers to not only Yom HaKippurim but the Maisa Parah as well? Says Gemara, Hahu da Rabbi. Yeah, he's quoting his Rebbe over there. When he quotes his Rebbe, it's a different story. When he's quoting himself, it's a different story. So when he's quoting his Rebbe, his Rebbe holds differently than he does. If you look at Tosfos, the Rabbi. Let's just finish the line. The Chiyasa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. La so say the Maisa part of the Chaper El Maisa Yom HaKippurim. When Rabbi Yochanan says that the pasuk by the Milum refers to the Maisa Para, he's quoting Rabbi Yishmael. He's not saying it from himself. He's quoting it from Rabbi Yishmael. What do we know about Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yishmael is a Tana or an Amora? Rabbi Yishmael is a Tana. He's all over the Mishnayos. Rabbi Yochanan is an Amora. So what happened? Rabbi Yochanan had a tradition from Rabbi Yishmael that Allah is a certain way that we learn para for, we learn prisha of the coin for a para for 7 days from the psukim, and Rabbi Yochanan himself personally disagrees. He disagrees with the Tana. So Tosos raises the question: how could he disagree with the Tana? Tosos in Dibur Maskel de Rabbehu, he says Rabbi, about five lines in Vim Tom Rabbi Yochanan Hechi Poligal Rabbi Shmuel Shu Tana. So Tosos has two answers. Rabbi Yochanan found a brisa that goes like him, so he understands that it's a machlokas tanaim. Sayin achinami, Rabbi Shmuel, he disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel, but he thinks he has a brisa to back him up. And then toward the end of Tosos, inami yeshlomar, midkam Rabbi Yochanan mishmeid Rabbi Shmuel hachi mechal rabbanan pligya leviu damak rabbanan. When someone says something in the name of an individual tana, usually it means that their understanding is that other tanaim, or often it means that their understanding is that other tanaim disagreed. So if Rabbi Yochanan says this in the name of only Rabbi Yishmael, the implication is that there must have been a Rabbanan who disagreed. And Rabbi Yochanan is going like the Shita of the Rabbanan. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan could disagree with what he quotes from Rabbi Yishmael. The Tosos also raises the question earlier in the Tosos, why don't we just say, instead of saying that Rabbi Yochanan, one is Rabbi Yochanan himself, one is what he holds from his Rebbe, why don't we just say it's a machlokas amoraim, what Rabbi Yochanan held? Because after all, we had the first version of Rabbi Yochanan was Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. It was Rav Dimi quoting Rabbi Yochanan. The second version of Rabbi Yochanan was a whole different series of rabbis quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Menyumi Bar Chilkiya, Rav Mechasiya Baridi. So why don't we just say Amorayin in him? So Tosfos said, yeah, we would if we didn't have a better answer. But since we do have it pretty clearly that the second time he's quoting from Rabbi Shmuel, so we have a better answer. So we don't have to say that it's Amorayin in Alibid Rabbi Yochanan. So just to be matim that a little bit, Rashi writes in Maseches Ksubos that throughout all of Shas we typically assume Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that when you have Machlokas between two Tanaim, two Amoraim, that everybody's right, that it's all part of Divrei Elokim Chayim. He says the only exception is when there's a Machlokas about what somebody said. Then you can't say Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Rabbi Yochanan said one thing, meaning if it's Machlokas Amoraim, what Rabbi Yochanan held, we don't say Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chayim. So typically speaking, if we have an option of either saying that the stira in Rabbi Yochanan is answered by saying that one time he was quoting his Rebbe, one time he was saying his own opinion, then we can say Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chayim. But if the stira is only answered by saying Amoraim Ninu Valibid Rabbi Yochanan, it's Machlokas Amoraim, what Rabbi Yochanan held, well, that's the worst kind of Machlokas. We don't want that, because that means somebody's wrong, and we can't say Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chayim. So that's why we shy away from saying Amoraim Ninu Pashtos. So says Mar Vayter, Amalei Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, Meich Ki Alfasla Mimiluim. He says, wait, where do you get this idea of the Prisha Shiva? You learn it from the Miluim? Ima Miluim Kolakasaben Ma'akiben Afa Chanami Kolakasaben Ma'akiben. Well, if you're going to learn out from the Miluim, well, you should know something about the Miluim. Everything it says about the Miluim is Ma'akev. Any misstep in the way the Miluim is laid out is going to be Ma'akev the whole Avoda. So you're going to say the same thing by Yom HaKippurim also. V'chitei Machinami, and if you're going to say that, yeah, in Achinami you will, V'atnan maskin lo kohen acher v'lo katani mafrishin. But it says that we prepare a second kohen gadol, but we don't say that we're mafrish that second kohen gadol from his house for 7 days in advance. V'chitei So shouldn't that be ma'akev though? How is this kohen ever going to be able to do the avoda? The mafrishin should also be ma'akev if we're learning it out from the miluin. V'chitei ma'mai maskinin mafrishin listeni o idividi maskinin o idividi mafrishin. And if you want to say say that maskinin means mafrishin, well then why do we change the terminology? When we talk about the first kohen, we say mafrishin. When we talk about the second kohen, the backup, we talk about maskinin. So why would you change the terminology if they mean the same thing? They obviously don't mean the same thing. Obviously, we're only being mafrish mibeso, the first kohen, not the second kohen. Ask Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, but if you hold that you learn it from miluim, then the second kohen should have to be hufrash mibeso as well. So Rabbi Yochanan says back to Reish Lakish, okay, great. So what's your option? Where do you learn the idea that we're mafrish kohen gadol 7 days from? So Amar Misinai, he says, I learned that from our Sinai. Dechziva yishkon kvar Hashem al har Sinai ve'yachaseo anan sheishas yamim ve'yikra al Moshe ve'yom ha'shvi'i. So Michti, Dechziva yikra al Moshe ve'yom ha'shvi'i. My sheishas yamim. It says it called to Moshe on the seventh day. Why do you have to say sheishas yamim? So Zeb b'nayav, shekol ha'nichmas b'mach na'shchina, ton prish ha'shisha. You see from there that you need 6 days of separation in advance of greeting the Shechina. So that's where I learned that you need to separate the Kohen Gadol for 7 days. So Frekli Gemara, wow, what just happened? You just said that you need 6 days in advance for Har Sinai. How do you learn 7 days? Vanan Shiva Tanai. Our Mishnah says 7 days in advance. So Masnis Rabbi Dovid Maserihi Techayish Lutumas Beso. Now our Mishnah that requires 7 days is assuming like Rabbi Dovid Maserah, who's worried that if the Kohen will become Tameh if he's with his wife and she sees Dam at the time of Bia, it will turn out that he's Tameh for 7 days because a Boel Nida is Tameh for 7 days. So just to be extra safe, to keep him, make sure that he starts, to keep him away from his wife for 7 days. So we're Mafresh him for 7 days. You'll notice just last Ta'ara, 4 lines from the bottom, when Rabbi Yochanan says back to Reish Lakish, Armle Elamar Mehecha Yalifla, that there's a Gilyan Ashas, a little note for the Gilyan Ashas. He says, Ayin Erichin Dafhem Ralph Tosas Dibra Maskulva Hamar. What he's referring to is that it's a little unusual that Reish Lakish talks to Rabbi Yochanan straight, and Rabbi Yochanan talks back to Reish Lakish with the Lashon of Kavod. Marhu, they were chaverim, and Rabbi Yochanan was one that was makari of Reish Lakish in the first place. So if anything, Reish Lakish should have been more respectful to Rabbi Yochanan than Rabbi Yochanan is to Reish Lakish. So he's a little bothered by that. Some of the Rishonim and the Achronim deal with why Rabbi Yochanan specifically over here was more respectful to Reish Lakish than Reish Lakish was to him.